Welcome to Coastal Connection. I'm your host, Brian Russo. Coming up later in the broadcast, we'll chat with one of the pilots who wowed audiences in last weekend's Ocean City Air Show, and we'll learn about how technology has changed the very old craft of skytyping. And we'll head to Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, for a walking tour of the hidden, and in some cases, long-gone relics of the resort's past. But first, two teenagers drowned recently in Ocean City in separate incidents after getting swept out into the ocean by rip currents. Tragedies like these are unfortunate, but almost annual occurrences here on the coast. And while lifeguards are vigilant in trying to educate the public about these dangerous currents, sometimes it's still not enough. More than 80% of rescues that lifeguards make here on the coast are riptide related. And this week, I caught up with Lieutenant Mike Stone of the Ocean City Beach Patrol to learn more about these powerful channels of water, which can be fatal for even the strongest of swimmers. We met on the beach near the inlet as dozens of new lifeguards went through vigorous training exercises. Stone says some of the most important work to prevent people from being caught in rip currents takes place out of the water.
Well, one of the things that we like to say is, and is a big part of our mission, is education, prevention, and intervention. And we like to try and do as much as we can to educate the public. We're fortunate we have a lot of local people or people who have worked for us previously that help us do that, and they're very comfortable. But when we have people who come to the ocean and, you know, really treat it like a pool, former Captain Schoaf used to always call this his one-sided pool. So really one way to go in and one way to get out. But we always ask people just to check with a lifeguard, and the lifeguard can tell them about the conditions for the day, you know, high, low tide, if there are any obstacles under the water, if, you know, the rips are going to be bad that day. And we really try and do a lot of that. And then the guards are also trained to use their whistles if they think someone's near something that could be potentially dangerous. And as a last resort, really, to have to go in and get them. But if they do, to go get them before something serious.
Sure. Let's talk about the conditions which create rip currents. Can you look from the beach and see a rip current?
Yes, you can. Really, a lot depends on how the ocean is. If it's rough and you have, you know, bigger waves where you have a lot more water coming in, what happens is, close to shore, there's an area that's a little bit deeper, and we call that the trough. Then depending on the size of the sandbar, when you get a break in the sandbar, the deeper water in the trough naturally goes out that opening. And that's really what creates that, you know, the feeling of being pulled under, or some people commonly call it an undertow. When the tide's really low, you can actually see where the sandbar is, and you'll see how it's deeper close to shore. And you can even see where some of the breaks are. That'll happen sometimes at high tide. It's a real good model where the water comes up over the crest of the beach and it'll pool sort of behind that. And then you'll get a lower part. And you can even see some of the contours of the beach here. But then that water just sort of runs along. When it hits the low spot, it just rushes right out. And that's a good model of what a rip current's like, although it's harder to see. When you're up on the lifeguard stand, you have a pretty good vantage point, and it's easier to see, and you'll see a sandy color, almost like a mushroom type of picture in the ocean.
Now, the Beach Patrol in Ocean City handles hundreds, if not thousands, of calls throughout a summer. How many of those would you say, percentage-wise, guesstimation, are rip current related?
Well, I would say the majority of the rescues we make would be rip current related. Some other things we have to deal with, you know, we do have some shore break injuries or some shallow diving injuries. You know, definitely not as many as the rescues we have to make from having the rip current, though. So.
When people get sucked out into a rip current, it's usually not from standing on the shore in ankle-deep water. Usually they've waded in, they're waist-deep, chest-deep. When are people most susceptible to rip currents pulling them out? And what does it feel like to be sort of pulled out? When should swimmers realize that they're in a bit of danger?
Well, I think what happens a lot of time is, you know, you could be in, you know, waist-deep water, and then a wave comes in, you know, knocks you over, or you become disoriented, and naturally the water just sort of pulls you away, or, you know, pulls you under. And if they start to panic, that's really the biggest problem. One of the things we always try and say is think of the word rip, and we use the R in rip for relax, you know, stay calm. The I would be wave your hands, I need help, and then the P would be to swim parallel to shore. If you stay calm and relaxed, even though you might not be able to get in right away, you can float. Mm-hmm. Even if the rip current takes you out, you know, you can still float out there, but wave your hands, let the lifeguard know you need help. We'll come out and get you. Really, the lifeguard should, if you're in a rip and you're struggling, the lifeguard should notice that, and they'll come out and get you. But if you're by yourself, what you can do is you can swim parallel to shore, either north or south, and when you get away from the draw of the rip current, then you can come in to the shore.
Yeah, you mentioned that panic because, you know, I personally have not been caught in a rip current, but, you know, many people around this area, locals, visitors have. It's almost as a very common thing. And they have that panicked feeling of being sucked out. They're trying to get closer to shore, but yet they're being pulled farther from shore. I know that the education, you know, part of this is to swim parallel out of a rip in order to get yourself out of the current that is thusly pulling you out. For an inexperienced swimmer, quantify how hard that is.
Well, I think what happens is you're trying to get back to shore, and if you pick your feet up off the bottom, as you're trying to swim towards the shore, you're really being carried further away or further out. And I think that's really what causes the panic. You know, sometimes you might have another wave come in, and that'll sort of pick the person up and, you know, push them a little bit closer to shore. And that's always a good thing, but you can't rely on that. You know, really it's just the panic. And I think a lot of times that will come from people who just aren't familiar with, you know, swimming or playing in the ocean. And, you know, they might even not know how to swim, but they don't equate swimming in the ocean with swimming in a pool. And, you know, since you can walk in and it's, you know, gradually deeper and deeper, you know, they think they can stay in, but when they get knocked off their feet and pulled or pushed out, that, you know, that's when the panic sets in.
Yeah. The two teenage boys who were tragically killed in recent weeks by rip currents, they were pulled out, they were submerged. A massive search was undertaken by a number of different entities, the Beach Patrol, the Coast Guard, Maryland State Police, helicopters. In those two cases, were they inexperienced swimmers? You know, was there anything they could have done to prevent what unfortunately happened to them?
You know, I don't have personal knowledge of, you know, whether they could swim or not. I would say probably, you know, they didn't have a lot of experience as swimmers, and, you know, and that probably led to them getting in trouble.
When you are training your lifeguards, you know, when they're sitting up on the stand, you know, not only do they have to identify a rip current, but they have to be strong enough swimmers to basically swim into a dangerous rip current, get somebody, and pull them out. Sometimes when a swimmer is under duress. Talk about how much of the training is focused on being able to excel in situations like that.
One of the first things we tell the guards when they start working for us, if you're going to go make a rescue, probably the quickest way to get to a person in a rip is jump in the rip, because instead of swimming against it like them and being carried away, you'll swim in the rip, and it helps take you you know, faster or a little bit more quickly out to where the victim is. And we have a real good education campaign. We have safety brochures that have a diagram of a rip. If you look at the back of the stands, you'll see a diagram of rip current. It has instructions on there, you know, how to swim parallel to shore and get out of trouble. But we really try and pass that along to them and include that as part of our education and prevention program. And we really feel that lifeguards most effective up on the stand so they can see everything. And, you know, we try and get them to use their whistle to help prevent if they haven't had an opportunity to do that, or you know, what they've done just hasn't helped out.
I've spoken with many lifeguards over the years, and you know, they talk about all the education that they do each and every year to get this message out. You know, only swim in the ocean when, you know, there's a lifeguard in the stands. You know, make sure you're mindful of rip currents. Make sure you're not swimming at night. You know, all of these things. But of course, each and every year, we have incidents and unfortunate tragedies. There's millions of people that come here. Obviously, some things are going to happen when people are in the ocean. How frustrating does it get as a lifeguard, as somebody on the Beach Patrol, when people sort of ignore the education arm of what you guys do?
Well, I think one of the things I've learned in all the years I've been here is you really have to respect the ocean. It's very unpredictable. You know, just like the weather, if you're afraid of a thunderstorm, you know, the ocean's almost the same way. It can look calm, and really at any time of the day, anything can happen. You know, you just have to be prepared, and that's what we try and work with our employees on is, you know, just be prepared. You know, a lot of days will be calm, and you won't have a lot of action, but then other days you'll be busy all day long and just try and be prepared for that.
Talk a little bit about the water conditions. You know, the water coming into the summer season was incredibly cold. Mm-hmm. And I spoke with some people that said, you know, I don't know how many people are going to be spending a lot of time. You know, we're not sure how busy we're going to be on the beach patrol because the water is so darn cold. Seemingly, if you look at statistics, you guys have been making a lot of rescues in very cold water. Talk about the conditions right now in the ocean, and are we getting stronger currents, which are leading to sort of more saves?
You know, looking at the ocean today, I wouldn't necessarily say that. Over the last couple of weeks, you know, we have had some you know, rough days, and normally this time of the year, with when the water is colder, we don't have people that will go in the water, or if they do go in, they won't stay in as long. But I would say that right now the water's in the low 60s, and traditionally this time of year it, you know, may be even in the mid to high 50s, and that's a big difference, especially for little kids if they don't have a lot of body fat. You know, you see them come out of the water and they almost turn blue.
Sure.
So, you know, we have to worry about that with our employees too. You know, make sure, and even especially during training, if the water's too cold, they can't spend so much time in the water that it puts them in danger. You know, we have to just monitor them and make sure that, you know, they have appropriate rest or they warm up if, you know, it's cloudy, rainy, or overcast.
You know, you hear all the time about people who believe that they're very strong swimmers in a pool, and then they go into the ocean and they realize that their talents as a swimmer can be, you know, diminished quite quickly by the strength of the ocean. For even the strongest swimmer, how dangerous can rip currents be?
Well, I think even the strongest of swimmers, if you're stuck in a serious rip, you know, they can't even swim in against the rip current. You know, the best thing to do is just try and stay calm and relaxed, and if you feel like you can, swim parallel to shore, or the lifeguards will come out and get you.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks so much, and
sure.
All the best.
Anytime.
To learn more about rip currents of the Ocean City Beach Patrol, click to our website, wmucoast.org. You're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City and 88.5 in Washington. I'm Brian Russo. We'll be right back.